Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to the broadcast today, Man Alive. You know, I hope you have gotten so much out of this series. I have gotten personally encouraged just going through this material again and going back and listening to the CDs. I went through and just kind of spot checked all the CDs and flipped through the book again. And you know what? This is an incredible New Year's tool. Instead of making resolutions that you're never going to finish, it's time to put off and put an end to those things that keep throwing you back into those destructive cycles. I got a great message for you today. You want to send it to people. Help us get this word out to people. We want to be a blessing to people all over the world. Listen, this program, as well as all of our programs in this entire series, are available on www.impactministries.com. And of course, there's a lot of other sources where you can get this on iTunes and different places. We want to equip people all over the world. Breaking the cycle is going to put you in control of your life. Man, you know, almost everybody I know, they're putting forth effort, they're trying things, and usually trying the right things, but they don't know how to get it through to the end because somewhere along the way they fall into that cycle of destruction. I want to tell you something. 2015 can be the year that you change your life. You can put an end to those destructive cycles. You can break the cycle of pain and destruction in your life. Be sure and get the book and the series. You know, today we're going to be talking about something that is essential to life. It's essential to not just living in victory. It's just essential to living. You know, we're either going to choose the life we want or A life is just going to happen to us. And what I have found, you know, there's a lot of psychological ways to describe this, a lot of biblical ways to describe this. But one of the simplest ways to understand this is there's basically two approaches to life. And everybody fits into one of these two approaches. There are people who have what we call a toward approach. And then there's people that we have that have what we call an away from approach. Now, the person who takes the toward approach is the person that says, I'm moving toward what I want. And that person is going to tend to be a person that's willing to make decisions and recognizes the fact that they have got to make their own decisions in order for their life to go where they want it to go. Now, usually that person looks at the world around them and feels like they're the ones in control, that they're more powerful than the world around them. Now, that is really how God created us. God created us that we should function out of a sense of authority. Now, trust me, there's people that do that, that it's about ego, that it's about control. There's people who do that for all the wrong reasons. I'm not saying everybody that has a toward mentality is actually emotionally healthy. But I am saying that when we have the right sense of who we are in Jesus, we look at the world, and no matter what the circumstances are around us, we realize that I can, and in fact, I have to make decisions if I want my life to go where I want it to go. Now, there are people who are going to get all religious about that. They're going to say, well, see, I'm just going to go where the Lord leads me. You know what? That's kind of a half-truth, and most people I hear say that's just kind of a spiritual cop-out, because yes, you should always be willing to go where the Lord's leading you, but God never violates your will, and you have to make choices if you want to experience God leading you to those choices and how to get to those choices. Now, then there's the away-from person. Now, the away-from person is the person who tends to try to move away from things that are threatening. They're trying to move away from obstacles and conflicts and confrontations. And that person has a tendency to feel like the world is stronger than they are, that everything around them, everything in their environment is more powerful than they are. And that person is afraid of making decisions. That person kind of lives with the mantra that says, if I could, I would. Now, if you've heard me speak very much, you've heard me say this. The truth is, if you were willing, then you could. But see, maybe the way that person was raised, maybe the way that person's life has been developed, maybe the things they've been taught about God and about the Bible make them afraid of making decisions. But I'll tell you this, our mind always seeks to protect our ego. And so every time we're faced with a challenge, one of the things that happens to us is just in a nanosecond, our mind goes back over every experience that we've ever had. And if we have not followed through on our decisions, if we have lived an undisciplined life and didn't learn to follow through, if our parents didn't teach us to be responsible, then every time we get ready to make a decision, we have the imminent sense of failure. And when that happens, we're going to somehow come up with some justification, some scriptural idea, something, some excuse, something we need to learn, some reason we need to put it off. We're going to come up with some reason not to make a decision. Now, I want to tell you something. The power of making decisions is crucial to breaking the cycle, breaking the destructive cycles in your life, but the power of making decisions is crucial to living a healthy, godlike life. You know, the Bible tells us that we were created in the likeness and image of God. It tells us that that man is supposed to have dominion. And see, the main thing that we have over which we have authority is ourself and our choices. In fact, we are the only species in the world. We're the only species in all of creation that can change the quality of our life by our decisions. There's not another species that has the capacity to make these kinds of decisions. And that's because we are created in the likeness and the image of God. Now, here's another important thing. I want you to understand, and I say this to you over and over again. And the reason I say this over and over again is because there's so much unscriptural teaching under the banner of grace. So much so that churches and pastors everywhere are saying, I don't want to have anything to do with that grace movement because, you know, it's all about people getting in sin and being irresponsible. And sadly, a lot of what's being taught out there makes you irresponsible, makes you really not make choices. But I want you to understand something. Grace is God's power. Grace is God's ability. Grace is what the Pentecostals used to call the Holy Ghost working in you, the strength, the power of God working in you. And you can't get the grace of God to do anything that you don't decide. You see, God's never going to violate your will. The fact that we were created in the likeness and the image of God means we have choices. It not only means we have choices, but it means we are responsible. As I've said so many times, in Jesus' teachings and the parables about the kingdom of God. Now, the parables were not about how to get saved. The parables were about how to live in this realm of the kingdom of God. If the parables were about how to get saved, then Jesus would have been a legalist and we couldn't follow his teaching. But Jesus wasn't teaching about how to get saved. He was teaching about how to live in this realm called the kingdom. And one of the consistent threads woven through nearly all of the parables is personal responsibility to make choices about your attitudes, your actions, what you're going to do, how you're going to relate to your fellow man. And so you understand then that God wants us to be responsible. We have the ability to respond to any and every situation the way we choose to. And in fact, how you're responding to every situation is on some level a choice. It may be a choice that you've been programmed for, but it's a choice. You know, one of the things that's happened, and please don't be offended by this, but you know, if you're under 30 years old, or maybe even under 40 years old, you have been raised in an environment that teaches you to be irresponsible. You know, one of the things that will make the world ready for the Antichrist is a world full of codependent people that have been trained, developed, raised to blame everybody else for the problems, the challenges in their life. And if you go far enough down that track, you're always going to look for somebody to solve your problems for you. You're going to look for somebody to give you what should only be obtained between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a parent raising kids, there's some things you better do. Number one, you better let your kid learn how to fail. Because facing failure, this, you know what, this whole thing that's happening where we're not going, nobody in the classroom is ever going to fail. No team is going to win. They're both going to get trophies for playing. Where there's no competition, there's no success and no failure. Now, I understand that all that can be misused and all that can be used to hurt people, but by and large, people who don't know how to cope with failure are going to be codependent, overly sensitive people that have no capacity for facing challenges in life. And that's the world that the Antichrist will overthrow. A world full of whining babies that can't take responsibility for their life, that are afraid to make decisions. Well, I want to tell you something. Anytime you want to, you can change that. You can start this journey of making the decisions for your life and breaking the destructive cycles. You know, here's the big secret. There's a reason people don't get empowered to live in righteousness. Now, remember, we've already talked about righteousness. And if you haven't watched the previous programs, go to impactministries.com and be sure and watch all the programs in this series. And be sure and get the book and the series and the CD series to add depth and to what you're getting here. You know, we put all this information out here for free. We want everybody to have it. We're not trying to exclude anything. But there are people that want to do more studying and they want to look at it day after day after day. And you can't cover it all in a program. So we make CDs and I write books so I can put tools in people's hands to train and equip people. And then we use resources from that to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. So invest in yourself and invest in others, you know, through these materials that we offer. Because we're going to go into it, because we do go into a lot of this. But we've already gone into in this broadcast about righteousness. And righteousness is not this mean, hard, legalistic thing about spiritual, you know, perfection, doing right all the time and being haughty and holier than thou and all that kind of stuff. Our whole concept of righteousness is so perverted that the truth is nobody really wants to live righteous. Because when you remember, we talked about pain and pleasure, and we talked about how you will always pursue and be drawn to that which you are sure will bring you pleasure, and you're always going to avoid that which you are sure or which even brings a threat of facing pain. But for most of us, we've got this concept of righteousness that's just sterile, man. It's like this cold world of religion, and we don't want that. That's no fun. That's nothing but pain. We dread it. We don't want to have any part of it. I want to tell you something, and that's not what righteousness is. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Righteousness is as we should be. We should be happy. We should be enjoying life. We should be healthy. We should be at peace. We should be in love with our spouse and our kids and even love with the world around us and even our enemies, you know? That's the righteousness that God has called us to. But you see, we've got these ideas about righteousness. We've got these concepts of righteousness that is something we don't want. Something very, very unappealing. And so because of that, we're not going to choose righteousness as long as we have no model, no sense of what righteousness looks like in real life. You know, you've got to get some kind of idea about what righteousness would look like in your life. And you need to sit down and think about what would righteousness look like in my marriage? And see if you see yourself as correcting all the time and trying to make everybody do right, and you've got a religious concept. Who wants that? That'll destroy your marriage. You know, when I think about being as I ought to be in my marriage, or as I could be, or as I should be, I tell you what I think about. I think about being encouraging. I think about being positive. I think about making people around me feel loved. I think about, I think about wanting to help people. I think about being happy. I think about enjoying life. That and doing all of that while I'm deeply in love with God and following Him with all my heart. That's my concept of righteousness. And so that is very, very, very appealing to me. And so my point here is this. As long as righteousness, or as it should be, is unappealing to you, as long as it has any kind of religious connotation to it, you're not going to want it, and you are not going to make the decision to live righteous. You will let yourself default to some kind of religious excuse. You know, the Bible does not present a concept of righteousness being something that's difficult or something that's hard. As a matter of fact, you know, the Apostle John, even talking about the commandments of the Lord, which the commandments are just divine prescriptions about how to make life, he says they are not burdensome. I'll tell you, the minute you make the commandments of God something burdensome, something legalistic, something negative, then you totally misunderstand God. You totally misunderstand the Scriptures. You misunderstand what God's trying to do in your life. There's nothing burdensome about doing what makes life work. There's nothing burdensome about being happy and being fulfilled and prosperous and being successful and enjoying life to its fullest. That's what Jesus said He came to do. You know, in Romans 6:13, the Apostle Paul talked about it. He said, you know, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Now remember, sin is any way that you perceive or experience yourself as less than you really are with God, thereby missing the goal, or thereby missing the glory of God, missing the view, the opinion that God has of you and of your situation. And he says, but instead, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So it's really interesting. See, the power that works in you basically is the power that you choose, if you want to know the truth. Now, you're not choosing, saying, I want the power of unrighteousness to work in me, or you're not necessarily saying, I want the power of righteousness to work in me. But you see, the power that works in us is the choice to which we yield. So, by default, if I don't choose for life to be as it should be, by default, if I don't make a choice about the outcome I want, you know, anytime I approach any kind of a situation, I try to understand what the biblical promise outcome could be. In other words, how should it be? That's what righteousness is. How should it be? So if I'm sick, the outcome should be that I should be well. If I'm sad, the outcome should be that I am peaceful and happy and joyful. You know, if I am lonely, then the outcome should be that I'm connected and loved and have relationships. But see, we have this tendency to jump beyond biblical bounds and start saying, and this is what's going to take to make me happy, or this is who I need to be with to not be lonely, or, you know, or this is what I need to have to feel successful and prosper. And so we're not really choosing the outcome, we're choosing the process. And I got news for you. The process is where we really, really have to trust God. And I've talked to you about this over and over and over again. If you try to control the process, you are in fact attempting to control God, and you are no longer following God. You are now requiring that God follow you. You are no longer allowing God to be in control. You are now in control. You are now in charge of your own life. You're Lord of your own life. But when we get within the bounds of what the Scripture says, which is the outcome, the specific outcome of how we can be as we should be. And really, that's the thing. It's not about doing. I don't even think much about doing as much as I think about being. Because if I think about being encouraging, then it's hard for me to do discouraging thing. If I choose to be loving, it's hard for me to be selfish and self-centered. If I choose to be kind, it's hard for me to be critical. If I choose to be merciful, it's hard for me to find fault. You see, once we make choices, we set in motion everything about how our mind's going to work, how our thoughts are going to go. But when we make those choices, trusting God, you know, it's interesting what Paul said. He said, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, the fact that I'm not just trying to say I'm going to do the right thing and therefore I'm going to be as I should. I'm yielding to God, my Father, my model, my example, my teacher, the one whose word tells me how to walk in love and tells me how to treat people. And so I realize, and I'm going to make that choice because I know that there's great pleasure and fulfillment in God's Word. I know that there's joy everlasting. I know that He anoints my head with oil. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. I know that the joy of the Lord is mine, and I know that joy is my strength. And you see, when you understand that joy is your strength, and you understand that God's Word always takes you, even if God leads you through something that's a hardship, you can have joy in your heart. I'm not saying we never face persecution. I'm not saying we never face hardship, but I'm saying we can face those things without them overtaking us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So I'm not saying we never face things, but I'm saying we can face things still fully committed to following Him and fully committed to the outcome that His Word promises. So we've got to choose to believe the promise. Remember, the Apostle Peter said we escape the corruption that's in the world by these great and precious promises. We've got to begin to renew our mind, and we've got to see ourselves as being righteous, and we've got to choose righteousness. And all of that's got to be based on the fact that we're in Jesus. And then really we just commit ourselves to it. Father, this is the life that I choose. Romans 13:14 says this, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." In other words, once I make this choice, I'm not going to look back. Once I make this choice, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to go back to something else. I'm not going to make a plan for something else. I'm not going to have a plan B. This is my choice. He's going to lead me down this path of righteousness. He's going to show me how this works in my life. Now, so many times people say, well, that's what I want to do, but I'm confused. Well, I want to tell you something. Confusion usually comes because we have already made up our mind about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. James 3:16, really interesting verse. It says, "For where you have selfish ambition." Now, selfish ambition is when I have decided what I want. My ego is driving me in what I want. I'm selfish in what I want. I'm going to have what I'm going to have, and I'm going to have it my way. It says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition," that word envy is an interesting word because it's the word zeal, and it's talking about a person that's driven. So you're driven to have what you want the way you want it. Well, see, when a person starts feeling desperate, when a person thinks, "I've got to have that person to love me, or I'm going to be lonely the rest of my life," I got news for you. That just really means you're going to spend the rest of your life lonely. "I've got to have what I want the way I want it, or I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to be satisfied." Well, I'll tell you something. James 3:16 goes on and says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." And that word for disorder is the word confusion. If you want to end up in confusion, then just make up your mind what you've got to have to be happy, what you've got to have to feel right about yourself, and how it's got to happen. And I got news for you. You'll always end up confused because that confusion is willful confusion. This is what I want. This is the way I want to get it. And God's Word and God's Spirit is saying something else to me. And so my only way to keep myself from feeling like I'm just in total rebellion is to choose confusion. You know something, when you surrender to God, knowing that surrendering to Him is surrendering to the best, is surrendering to the path of life, it's surrendering to not living in darkness, it's surrendering to righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you know that's what you're surrendering to, life gets easy and all confusion goes away. Please come back for my mentoring moment in just a few minutes. I want to put some practical application into this for you. I want to do everything I can to encourage you, to equip you, to build you up, to strengthen you, to make you enjoy life to the absolute fullest. And that's the reason that we have a mobile app. Now, our mobile app is something you can download to your phone or to your tablet. And I encourage you to make sure that everybody in your family has our mobile app. As a matter of fact, make sure that all of your friends have it. Send a link to our mobile app if you like. But all you got to do is go to our website, and at the homepage, just click on the mobile app and just follow the steps there and download it. We're actually making some adjustments in our mobile app, so it's really, really easy for you to use, because every single day I'm popping out quotes, words of encouragement, things that God's saying to me, things that I think will bless you and help you. And I tell you, I get all kinds of testimonies about this. Now, you may think you can get this on Facebook. The problem is, if you sign up on Facebook, which I hope you do sign up on the Facebook page, you don't always get my quotes. I want to make sure you get them. Every program, every blog, everything we got, because it's for your edification. Well, here you are. You've gone through this whole series, man. I know you got to be chomping at the bits. Listen, this is the place you can end your destructive cycles, put an end to the pain, put an end to the failure, put an end to trying and not being able to make it through to the accomplishment of what you want. God wants you to have the very, very best. I encourage you to get the book and CD set, and I'm telling you, sit down, read every word, write notes, make a godly plan, and break those destructive cycles and get on with your life.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.